Thank you so much, Preacher. Once again, thank you, Pastor Whittig, for the opportunity to be able to come. And thank you, church family, for your faithfulness. And sure is a blessing to see Dr. Vogeland, Mrs. Vogeland. Thank you so much. And haven't had much contact over the year. I remember going as a young, probably 13, 14-year-old young man up to Fairhaven. And then every once in a while, I would cross paths, but you know, just see you preaching. But I appreciate your faithfulness, and sure is an honor to be with you this evening. If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, I would like to preach. Don't plan on preaching long tonight. I know every preacher that says that ends up preaching at least 45 minutes. But I don't plan on preaching 45 minutes this evening. Acts chapter 1, I would like to start with verse number 8, very familiar verse, and kind of use this as a springboard. We're going to be looking at Philip the evangelist's life tonight. I would like to preach, and if I were to entitle the message, I would entitle it, Philip, a Man on a Mission. And I believe as Christians, our mission should be that Christ be glorified in our lives. And he is glorified when we are faithful and we're serving and we're leading people to him. Notice here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." May God bless the reading of his word here. And I would like to bring out this fact. These are the last words that we have recorded here in Acts before the Lord Jesus Christ ascends up into heaven. And we find that shortly thereafter, the disciples are doing what I would have done if I were there. They're just looking and gawking up into the sky, and the angel tells him, hey, listen, this same Jesus is coming back. And friends, tonight, I believe that it is our duty to go into all the world as Christians, preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Philip is the only man or only person in Scripture that I have found that was given the functioning title, the working title of the evangelist. Now, Paul does mention the evangelist when he's exhorting Timothy, do thou the work of an evangelist. Evangelists also we find in the list of those given to the church in Ephesians chapter 4. But only Philip is officially called the evangelist. Now, tonight, I would like to submit that the evangelist, the word evangelist means bringer of good news or a preacher of the gospel. And with that, turn over with me to Acts chapter 6, if you would, and kind of bringing you up to speed. Everyone understands that the disciples obeyed. They went, waited for the Holy Ghost to descend. The Holy Ghost empowered. Peter preaches. Souls are saved. And soon the church in Jerusalem, they have grown to a large number. Well, in chapter number 6, we find the first official problem that we have here is the fact that there was a need that had to be dealt with in the church. Notice in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1, it says, "In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And this the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, notice, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Now, that's as far as I would like to read. If we'd continue, we'd follow down through all of the men that were chosen. And then through that, directly, we find that God blessed the church. And may I say tonight that there is no church problem when everyone is submitted to God's leading that cannot be resolved God's way, which will bless even more. Now, sometimes problems need to be dealt with, but we're not going to focus in on problems tonight. I want to focus in on Philip. Philip was a man that I believe was on a mission. I would like to bring four spirit-filled traits that still powers the advance of the gospel today. First of all, in Philip's life, I would like to submit that he was, first of all, saved, a heart transformed. You say, Brother Charlie, how in the world do you see that? Well, I believe everyone understands. Notice in verse number 3, when the call went out and the qualifications were given, they said, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Friends, listen, in order to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we know there has to be salvation. There is no way for any person to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God if they were not born again. So first of all, this evening, and it matters not your upbringing. As I mentioned, I had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. I mean, from the day I got home, I started hearing Bible verses. I started hearing that I needed a Savior. And it was at the age of 5 that I understood that I was in need of a Savior, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You see, well, Brother Charlie, I was born a Christian. Well, that's not true. No one is born a Christian. We are born as human beings. And when we reach the age of accountability, we are responsible before God for the sin that we have committed. And therefore, we need a Savior. Christians, let me ask you, not only Christians, and every Christian here tonight would respond to this question with affirming, but let me ask everyone here, have you been born again? You see, Jesus Christ declared unto Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You say, Brother Charlie, yeah, hey, it's Thursday night crowd. You're preaching to the choir. Oh, but you know what? I never cease to, it never gets old to state, ye must be born again. You see, you can make $1 million in this world. You can make $1 billion in this world. But if you die without Jesus Christ, it is all to no avail. So Philip, he was a man whose heart was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. You've got Paul sharing his desire in stating that his own people had gone about seeking to establish their own righteousness, but they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. Friends, missions, where does it start? Oh, it doesn't start with a resume. Saul had an amazing resume, but it wasn't until Paul was regenerated that he became a useful tool for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So first of all, Philip was a man who was saved. His heart had been transformed. Not only that, he was serving. Did you know when the call went out, the Bible says that he was chosen to do what? To serve. To serve the widows, to serve basically tables, to take care of the necessity there. Christian, let me ask you this. Are your hands ready for any task? Now, as I look around, and my goodness, the beauty of the facilities God has given you. It blesses my heart. I love it. I know there's a lot that goes into upkeeping a place like this, but as I look around, I know there are many hands invested right here, willing to serve in any capacity. Now, young people, it's a blessing to have young people plugged in and ready to serve, whatever. Preacher looks over and he says, you know, I need 4 young men right here. Pick up the organ and move it over. And don't pick up the organ, please. That would not be. But anyway, immediately he's got 4 young men. Just pop right up. Come over here. Just pick it up. And hey, they're plugged in. They're serving. Now, isn't it a blessing to have those? But let me ask you this. Service should be not only in God's house, but service should be even at home. Young people, do you understand that our service for God doesn't start at church? Listen, we need to be serving our parents. You know, hey, get back there and make up your bed. Oh, Mom. No, that's service. But you say, well, who's watching? I submit to you tonight that there's somebody greater, even than pastor. You know, around church you get recognition for it, but at home, who recognizes that? Can I put a cry out to the husbands? When was the last time that you served your wife? Listen, we're talking about serving. You say, Brother Charlie, you're kind of getting sidetracked here. We're talking about Philip, a man on the mission. You know what? When you truly serve the Lord, and that is visible, that increases the impact of our testimony on those around us. Philip was a man that loved serving God, and he used what God gave him to serve those around. Oftentimes, what stands in the way of our true service is our pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, when you study through the servants of God, men and women that God greatly used, they start out as simple servants of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christians, let me encourage you. If it's been a while, or even if it was just a couple of minutes ago, let's live our lives as Philip, our hands willing to serve. You say, Brother Charlie, what made the difference? Well, his heart was saved. His heart had been transformed, and that translated into his hands. There was no task too great that Philip wasn't willing to serve. Now, as we go through here, chapter 7, do you remember what happened in chapter 7? We find Stephen. He goes out, he preaches, and they stone him. And the Bible says, the end of chapter 7, that he kneeled, and when he said this, actually, after kneeling down and crying to the Lord with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin in their charge. I love how the Bible describes the death of a saint. It says, and he, when he had said this, he fell asleep. Isn't that beautiful? But what a blessing. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a comfort for the child of God. Even amongst all that mess, Stephen fell asleep. Well, what happened to Philip? Well, we know the opening of chapter 8, Saul starts persecuting. In verse number 4, it says, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Now, in Acts chapter 1, do you remember the progression that Jesus stated about the spreading of the gospel. Okay, he said, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Now, I believe that in Philip, there's basically a living road map fulfilling that. You say, Brother Charlie, why? Well, Philip starts out in Jerusalem serving. When persecution comes, where did the Lord send him? Down into Samaria. Well, he gets to Samaria, and what does he do? Well, he didn't get there and start twiddling his thumbs because there's not a church and he doesn't have tables to wait. You know what he starts doing? He starts praying, hey, Jesus changed my heart. And he gave me a message to share. And he starts preaching Christ. Now, as we follow down through this, don't have time tonight, but because of his sharing the gospel, the Bible says in verse number 8, and there was great joy in that city. Friends, you want to make Pocatello happy? You say, Brother Charlie, the gospel makes them upset. Yes, but everyone who accepts the gospel, boy, it brings a great joy into their life. Listen, this is what the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men and women getting saved. And listen, this ministry is growing so much that the church in Jerusalem, you know what? They send Peter and John to see what's going on. And the Bible says that when they got there, in verse number 17, then they laid, referring to Peter and John, they laid their hand on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now I'm coming up on my third point. First point, Philip was saved. His heart was transformed. Second point, he was serving. His hands were ready for any task. Now, do you notice here from Jerusalem, the Lord moves him down into Samaria, and there's a large gathering of people who have been saved, who have been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And I mean, the Lord is blessing. It's growing. And how exciting it is to be plugged into a growing ministry. You know, it is a blessing to hear about the plans for this month. I'm excited for you. All those get-togethers, the ladies meeting, the fellowship, the potluck. Boy, what a blessing. The church of God just growing, having sweet fellowship together. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord redirects. And that's exactly what he did to Philip. You know, the church was growing, and the Bible says in this same chapter, down in verse number 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And the Bible says, and he arose and went. Now, Christian, third point is this. I find in Philip, and in order to a spirit-shaped trait that powers the gospel, not only is a person must be saved, must be serving, but also must be submitted to the leading of the Holy Ghost of God. You know what? God sometimes redirects our steps. I heard once a very sincere pastor tell me, he said, Charlie, Don't believe that God will ever take a man from a large ministry and put him in a smaller ministry. And I believe the man was very sincere in what he said, but I personally believe that was sincerely wrong advice. Because you see, Philip was simply a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe when we understand that the Lord can redirect our steps, whether it be to a large ministry, or whether it be ministering to one. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He said, Philip, I want you to go to the desert. Philip didn't say, Lord, who's going to take over? He said, Lord, I'm yours. I know this work is yours. You're going to take care of them. I'm going because you want me to go. And he went. And guess who he found in the desert? Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Boy, what a beautiful story. Don't have tonight, but my goodness, can you imagine? One soul that had been at Jerusalem seeking and worshiping, but he returned not understanding. He's reading the scriptures. Philip knew exactly where he was reading. Led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, baptized him. Where do you think the Ethiopian eunuch went? To Ethiopia. And that was basically considered unto the ends of the world of those days. Hey, listen, Philip, you say, Philip, why did you do it? Why were you redirected? Hey, God has all authority to redirect our steps. Now, let me bring that down just a little bit closer to home. And say, Brother Charlie, what does that mean? Well, sometimes, have you ever had your day completely planned out? And you know exactly what you need to do. I mean, you're running a tight schedule that day. And all of a sudden, you're driving and you'll make it as long as all the red lights are green. Or all the green lights are green. There you go. Red lights can't be green. It has to be green to be. Anyway, if you hit all those lights just right, you're going to make it on time. And all of a sudden, blub, 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 blub. Flat tire. How do you handle a flat tire? I say, Brother Charlie, we're in church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, sometimes those flat tires, that's just simply the Lord redirecting. Say, hey, I've got something more important for you right now. And every time that I've understood, Lord, my day is your day, my time is your time, and Lord, if you redirect my steps, Lord, help me to be aware of those around me. You know, you look at that call and you've got two reactions. You step out and you say, Lord, thank you. I don't know why, but I do believe you have a purpose. And then perhaps it's somebody that's going to stop and say, hey, you need a hand? Yeah, I appreciate that. Maybe that's that contact. Maybe it's even the person who you're going to take the car to. Listen, unexpecteds are completely under God's control. May we be aware, as Philip was, and allow the Lord to redirect, be submitted to his guidance, so that when he redirects, might our feet be quick to obey the Spirit. Now we find here, and notice the end of chapter 8, as we look, the Bible says in verse number 39, and when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and and he went on his way rejoicing. Now verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to where? Caesarea. Now, if you know your geography, we find from Jerusalem, he goes into Samaria and he preaches. From Samaria, he goes to the desert, and then he leads the Ethiopian eunuch who goes down into Ethiopia, and then he continues the western coast going up until he comes to Caesarea, is what the Bible says. Now, when he's in Caesarea, what did he do going up to Caesarea? He preached Christ. Do you remember the title, Philip? A man on a mission. Philip, what's your mission? Hey, my mission is to make Christ known, to glorify him through this body. As a young person, I kind of struggled. I felt the Lord calling me to be a missionary at the age of 12 during a mission conference. Went forward, surrendered my life, made it public. But then as the years went by, I struggled with the fact. My parents are missionaries. And you know, as a young man, I want to be my own man. I don't want anybody to say you're a missionary because your dad's a missionary. And so I want to be my own man. And I got to thinking about all the exciting things a young man can do with his life. You know what? I found a lot of exciting things. You know, I love military. And I considered all kinds of branches. But you know what? The Lord got my attention in October of 96. The last week of October of 96, there was a tragic plane crash in Brazil, killing everyone, 95 passengers on that flight, and killing everyone on board and four people on the ground. Through that, God got my attention at a youth meeting the first Saturday of November. We got our youth group with other sister churches, and the preacher got up and he based this text out of Luke chapter 16, and he entitled his message, Flight 402, that was the number of the flight, A Flight Unto Death. And he said, young people, you that are saved here this evening, you're responsible for this generation. He said those who got in that airplane had no idea that was the last time, that was their last flight into eternity. Once that door was sealed, they were already flying out into eternity. And he said, young people, you're responsible for your generation. He brought out 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we belong to what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, and that you are not your own, you are bought with a price. And I've messed it up a little bit, but he gets down and he says, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Young people, you know this body right here that you're looking at? If you're Christian tonight, your body does not belong to you. And can I be completely honest, full disclosure here, that night, God confirmed my call to Brazil. I'm very grateful. Listen, I am very grateful that I obeyed the Lord. And young people, remember all that excitement that I was wanting? I guarantee you, I have seen all kinds of amazing things that God has allowed me to see and to do because of obedience and saying yes to God. Listen, may we be submitted to what God wants, willing that even if He redirect our steps, we're willing to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Now, chapter 9, we don't find Philip anymore. Chapter 10, we don't find. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Philip is not mentioned anymore until chapter 21. Go with me to chapter 21, and this is my fourth and final point this evening. Four spirit-filled traits that further the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, you must be saved. Second of all, Philip was serving. Thirdly, he was submitted. But notice here in chapter 21 of Acts chapter 21, the Bible states in verse number 8 the following words. In the next day, we were that of Paul's company departed. Now, if we had time, you could read the previous chapter and you would find out that there are 9 men in Paul's company, including Paul. And the Bible says this, and we departed and came unto Caesarea. Remember, that's where Philip went, Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. In the beginning of verse 10, it says, and as we tarried there, how many days? Many days. Now, this is my last and final point this evening. And my challenge is going to be this. Christian, what is your mission? What is your mission? For Philip, he was a man on a mission. And his mission was, hey, listen, the Lord saved my heart. He saved my life. My heart has been transformed. With that, he's got these hands that are willing to do anything to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no service too large or too small. He was willing to serve. Not only that, he was willing for God to redirect his steps. Now we find him, and I believe this is a key, one of the greatest keys in continuance is he was steadfast. You see, for approximately 22 years, 25 years is what I personally have calculated. Perhaps I'm even wrong, and I stand corrected if anyone would like to. But what I know is this, and this is the focus. For years and years and years, Philip is not mentioned. Now we find exciting stories. We find it directing from Peter going into Paul in the ministry, and exciting things are happening all over the known world, but there's a man in Caesarea. What is Philip doing? Well, first of all, I've wondered often, what happened to Mrs. Phillips or Philip? Did you see Miss Philip there? Did you read her? She's in there. Say, Brother Charlie, I didn't see her. Well, she's right between verse number 8 and verse number 9. More specifically, in verse number 9. When it speaks of Philip opening his house, and then in verse number 9, it says he had four daughters. For that, there's Miss Philip. Do you see her? Philip had four daughters, right? We don't have to. Okay, this is not rocket science, folks. You got to have a wife to have daughters. Amen? Ladies, sometimes, and oftentimes our modern world wants to minimize the importance of homemakers. Can I encourage you with this? I believe that Mrs. Phillips was an amazing lady. Say, Brother Charlie, where do you see that? Listen, if you disagree, that's okay, but I'll tell you what you can't disagree with me, is that Philip had four daughters who were using the gifts that God gave them to bless people that were around them. And when those nine men came through, Philip opened the doors of his house and said, come on in. We want to be a blessing to you. Now think of you. Ladies, you know how much goes into when you have a large group coming through. You do, oh my goodness, why didn't you tell me? I got to clean here and you clean there and you clean everything and you get everything ready and you prepare and you do the meal preps and you've got to get everything ready. Hi, boy, what a blessing. Come on in. And boy, it's nice when you go into a home and you can smell that happiness, that joy, that hospitality. You know, I believe in Philip's house and through these verses, not only Paul and the men that were coming, they found a warm place to stay. But they find a man and four daughters. What happened to Miss Philip? I have no idea. Perhaps she'd already passed on into glory. Perhaps she's still here, just not mentioned. But what the Bible tells us, there's a man that for years nothing has been said of him. He's not worried about the spotlight not being on him. He's just being that faithful witness for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Say, Brother Charlie, how do you know that? Well, he's got four daughters that love the same God that he loved. Four daughters that are blessing others. You say, well, they were prophesying. Doesn't the Bible say ladies aren't supposed to be preaching the word? Well, you know what? I believe that God, and prophecy is a gift given by the Holy Spirit of God to believers. Now, I believe that these ladies were using their gift within the bounds of Scripture. I don't believe they were exceeding, but I believe they were using the gift that God had given to them to bless people that are around. Parents, our view of our service to the Lord greatly influences the way our children view our God. If we're griping and complaining about every time we've got to go, we've got to do, hey, listen. What a blessing it is for sincere men and ladies who love God, who love God's people, who say, you know what? We're not here for our own happiness. We're here to glorify Christ. What we have, we're willing to let it be used for God's glory. Why? Not so that people say, wow, what an amazing family. Well, bless God, I'll tell you what. You know, I don't want to be, you know, but no. Anybody that looks at anything here and says, wow, listen, the only thing that we can glory in is in Jesus Christ. And it's only by His grace. Only by His grace. So Christians tonight, I trust that you've seen just through this simple message, a man by the name of Philip. A man who, his life was transformed. He was willing to use what he had to serve. He was submitted as the Lord redirected his steps. Perhaps there's someone here that's redirected. The Lord perhaps moved you on to another ministry that might not be as fruitful as the previous one. And you think, you know what? I'm not. Listen, hey, whether many or just a few, may we continue serving and remembering it is he that is glorified and gives the increase. Perhaps there's someone here that says, you know what? Nobody cares anymore about me. Hey, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Say, Brother Charlie, nobody's, you know, giving me, hey, nobody needs to. There's one who knows exactly where you are, what you're doing. When God, when Christ returned, and I believe that he can, someone just this week was saying, what are you thinking about over, you know, everything's going on in the Middle East? You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that the Lord's coming back. You say, well, is that a sign? Hey, any time that our history involves Israel, you can pay attention. I believe Christ could come tonight. But if he chooses not to come, may he find each and every one of us saved, serving, submitted, and steadfast in our service for the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd use this challenge here in your church. Thank you so much for the attentiveness. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless Pastor Whitaker. Give him wisdom now as he concludes the service tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.